Many physicians, I'm sorry, physicists, I got to get those glasses. That was a good one. Many physicists have suggested that there really was a cosmic egg. There really was. It was what they call a super dense singularity, the unimaginably dense point of proto-matter and energy that exploded and gave rise to the universe. At some point, this rich and multifaceted universe in which we live, everything that now exists was condensed into a space smaller than that of a single atom. And it was 10 to the 96th power, 10 with 96 zeros after it, as dense as water. Well, this egg, this cosmic egg, shattered. The singularity exploded. Matter emerged and expanded outward into empty space. And here we are. Now, if that is not a miracle, I don't know what is. Physicists also speak of the anthropic principle, the argument that the odds of the universe having turned out the way it did, giving rise to life and to consciousness, are very small. Stephen Hawking has written, "If the rate of expansion of the universe had been smaller by even one part in 100,000,000,000,000, it would have collapsed before it reached its present size." Also, if the strong nuclear force, that force that holds the nuclei of an atom together, if that were very slightly weaker than it is, there would only have been hydrogen in the universe. If it were only slightly stronger, all the hydrogen would have been converted to helium. In either of these cases, stars and heavier elements and compounds could not have emerged. And there are many other such numerical accidents, as physicist Freeman Dyson calls them, which Dyson says seem to conspire to make the universe habitable. As Hawking has stated, these are his words, "The odds against a universe like ours emerging out of something like the Big Bang are enormous. I think there are clearly religious implications." This from atheist Hawking. Well, we did emerge. And if that is not a miracle, I don't know what is. Consider the course of evolution on this one planet that we inhabit. Evolution has given the Earth a great variety of forms of life over the eons, and it eventually led to the emergence of humankind. If the whole 4 billion year history of the Earth were represented by a single day, then humanity would not have appeared on the scene until a few seconds before midnight. And yet, in that cosmic blink of an eye, we human beings have created a rich multiplicity of cultures and of traditions, and we've racked up a dazzling array of accomplishments, art and science, mathematical understanding, medicine, music, technology, religions and philosophies. And we have evolved minds that can contemplate and wonder about it all. If this is not a miracle, I certainly don't know what a miracle is. Consider, we humans are creatures who love, and by the power of that love, we are capable of being transformed, and even of transforming others. When someone we love is ill or lonely or sad, our love can extend a healing touch. It can be a saving grace. We can help lift someone out of the depths of dark despair into the light of hope. It happens every day. If these everyday healings of the soul are not miracles, then what are miracles? Today we celebrate two religious holidays, the Jewish Passover and the Christian Easter, and both of them involve miracle stories. It is recorded that Moses and Jesus performed miracles, or that miracles happened with Jesus and Moses as the instruments through which the miracles worked. You all know the Exodus story. When Moses used his magical powers granted by God, amazing things happened. His rod, when thrown down in front of Pharaoh, turned into a serpent. And when Pharaoh's magicians performed the same magic, Moses' serpent devoured the magician's serpents. Later, Moses brought down upon the Egyptians several plagues, things like frogs and locusts, a river turning to blood, all in an effort to get the stubborn Pharaoh to let the Israelites go free. The last, most horrible plague was the death of all the firstborn in the land, while the firstborn of the Israelites were passed over, hence the name Passover. After this, Pharaoh finally said, "Go, get out of this land." But he soon changed his mind about losing all those productive slaves, and he sent his soldiers to bring them back. The Israelites stopped on the banks of the Sea of Reeds, trapped and angry at Moses, until he lifted that rod again and the sea parted, only long enough to let the Israelites cross. The pursuing Egyptian soldiers drowned. So that's as the story goes and as we're told it. And then, of course, there were those amazing powers of Jesus, these powers that we have heard about. It is told that he cured the lame and the blind, that he turned water into wine, and that he withered an unproductive fig tree just by cursing it. He raised a man named Lazarus from death, and he himself even got up and walked away from his tomb after having been dead for 3 days. Wow, what miracles! Or so some have said. Most of us Unitarian Universalists today would question the idea that the kind of miracles reported in the Bible actually happened. As our forebear Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the miracle stories about raising the dead and turning water to wine and the bodily resurrection, these were inserted into the scriptures by the Christian church, and these so-called miracles made Jesus into a magician rather than the true visionary prophet that he was. But this does not mean that we should entirely abandon the idea that miracles occur. It can be said that Moses and Jesus did perform miracles, although not the hocus-pocus kind. Moses had a vision of freedom for his people, who were bent and dejected by centuries of slavery. He stood up to the oppressor and risked his own life to lead his people to freedom. Alongside Moses stand other such miracle workers: Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Desmond Tutu. Jesus also performed miracles. Like Moses, he was a kind of outlaw, performing miracles without a license, that is, standing up to the privileged and the powerful. And like the Buddha, like Zoroaster, like Muhammad, Jesus offered people a glimpse of his vision of the beauty and the mystery of the divine, which resides in every human soul. The Easter miracle is true, after all. Jesus was born again. He lives on, not bodily, but through the message of selfless love that he brought, a message we still very much need to hear. And he is reborn each time a deed is done in generous and selfless love. Both Moses and Jesus stand in a long line of prophets and visionaries who had a profound faith in the basic goodness of humans and in their own vision of justice. The fact that their teaching and example have been handed down through the decades and centuries to us is itself something of a miracle. Their legacy to us is the understanding that we too can be miracle workers, taking risks in our striving for freedom, justice, and truth, reaching out in love to those in need, pausing in awe and wonder before the majesty of creation, performing little everyday miracles of love and service. And like them, we can do it all without anyone giving us the authority, without a license, you might say, except for the one issued to each of us by the force of life, that cosmic drive or divine spark that set the galaxies spinning, and that eventually, through the wonder of cosmic and biological evolution, led to creatures like ourselves. The human capacity for love, awe, and compassion, these cosmic miracles, can tug us out of our small selves. They call us to turn away from the darkness of prejudice and despair and toward the light, like a plant seeking the sun. This Easter and Passover season, may we bloom with love and with hope, and may we be born again and again and again. As Emerson said, here and there in the world, and now and then in us, comes a new creation.